Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Our title is going to be Masters of Daily Living. Masters of Daily Living. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. The Apostle Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to needs, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that God wants his people to be masters of daily living, because the most important thing that you possess in the sight of God is not what we call blessings. The most important thing that you possess in the sight of God is not your car, it is not your house, it is not your cash, it is not your family, it is not your children. The most important thing that you have in the sight of God is not travel opportunities. It is not where you live on this earth. It is not your ministry. It is not your followership. The most important thing that you have in the sight of God is how wonderful you are as a person. How wonderful you are as a person. Hallelujah. God wants us to be wonderful as people, not on occasional basis, but on daily basis, not on special days, because on special days everybody is wonderful. He wants us to be wonderful people on daily basis, not when we are in church, not when we are preaching, not when we are singing, not when we are ministering, not when we are praying. He wants to look at us and see that we are wonderful persons all the way through. He wants to look at us at the time that we are tired and still see that we are wonderful people. He wants to look at us at the time that we are disappointed, at the time that we make a mistake, at the time that we are despised, at the time we are discouraged and we feel sad. We should still be wonderful people in his sight. At the time that you are hurt, at the time that your faith doesn't work, at the time you are afflicted and you are suffering, even at the time that he is chastising you, he wants to look at you and rejoice that you are a wonderful person. Hallelujah. God wants to make us such that even if we do not have anything, people want to sit around us like they would do to the Lord Jesus. God wants to make you in such a wonderful person that even when you are disappointed, people will still want to come close to you. Even when you are hurting, people will still find in you somebody worth hanging out with, being around. Even when you are broke, you don't have anything, God wants to process us in such a way that you will want to sit with me when I don't have anything, and feel my positive vibes, and feel my pleasantness, and have my smile. He wants to process us in such a way that we cannot be bought by evil. No matter how attractive the result is going to be, He wants to work on our lives and our persons on a daily basis in such a way that we cannot be solicited by anybody. We cannot be solicited by anything except by Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that our value is far above the whole world. He has made you say that your value is far above material things, material blessings. It's a shame when you think that your value comes from what you drive, that your value comes from what you wear, whether it is Gucci or what else. I'm not saying I don't wear them, that's not my message. But I'm saying that your value doesn't come from the brand of clothing that you wear. Hallelujah. It doesn't come from the kind of job that you do. Your value must not come from where you live geographically on this earth. Your value must come from Himself, who made you in His image. Your value must come from what the Word of God has said about you. And that is what God wants. God wants to process us and make us beautiful, not occasionally, but every day, all the way through to the end of the day. Not during part of the day, but all the way throughout the day. I need to make you understand, my brothers and sisters, that what happens to us is not a sign of whether God likes us, whether God approves of us, whether He accepts us or not. What happens to us is not a sign to indicate to you or to anybody that this is what you are, this is what your value is. Most of the time, dear children of God who are listening to me, we deal with God from a result point of view rather than from a relationship point of view. We think about God, and the moment we think about God, we think about consequences or results. But it should not be the case. When we think about God, we must think about relationship. It should be God and relationship, not God and consequences. Hallelujah. Not God and results of what is happening to you or what should happen to you. You should think about God and relationship. And that is how God wants to process you to become. Hallelujah. As humans, we have a tendency to think that when I do right, right must follow me immediately. That is what I mean by God and consequences. We think that when we do the right thing, when we obey God, the results must be something positive and it must be immediate. You think about God and consequences, not God and relationship. But I need to make you to understand that God wants us to be masters of daily living, not people who are looking for the immediacy of blessings and results. When we think about serving God, we think about results. We don't think about relationship, but God's focus is on relationship, so that you disabuse your mind about what happens to you. It does not matter as long as you have your relationship and you have your fellowship with the Lord. But we are human, and in our fallen state, even as believers, we think that when we do evil, evil will follow immediately. So when it doesn't come immediately, we tend to think that we have gotten away with it. When you do the right thing and the result doesn't come immediately, whereas your thinking is on the consequences of doing the right thing, God's thinking is on relationship. And when you do the right thing and then the blessing doesn't follow immediately, we think that it's not worth doing the right thing. We think that we should be disappointed. We think that God has not dealt well with us. But I need to make you to understand, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says that because sentence or judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. I want you to understand that God is thinking about the way that he wants to process you and make you a wonderful person on a daily basis, who is not looking at what happened to me last week to determine whether God approved of me or not, who is not looking at what happens to me when I do the right thing, like come to church and something good must follow, and if the good doesn't follow, then it is not worth it. God has disappointed me because I don't have the immediacy of the consequence of coming to church, the immediacy of the consequence of worshiping God, the immediacy of the consequence of paying my tithe or doing what is right. I need to make you to understand, it is not what happens to us that matters in the sight of the Lord or determines that our lives will be good or whether God accepts us or not, but what we do about what happens to us. That is the focus of God, so that we become masters of the daily vicissitudes of life, the daily goings on and happenings of life. We need to become masters. The Apostle Paul said that I have learned in every situation to suffer need and to abound. I have learned it. It's not something that is normal with me, human as I am. Apostle Paul is speaking. But he says that it's something I have learned. I have given myself to it, to come to that point where I become a master of my person, where my person is more important than whether I am abounding or I am abasing, whether I am having a good time or I am having a bad time. I have learned it, that in everything I should allow Christ to strengthen me. When he said I can do all things, he wasn't referring to the kind of thing that traditionally comes into our mind when we quote Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was referring to daily living, abounding sometimes, abasing sometimes, suffering need sometimes, and having a good time sometimes. He says that I don't let it affect my person. It doesn't affect my value, the value that I have about my own self, because Jesus Christ is the one that I take my value from. He strengthens me so I know who I am. Whether I am hurt by people or not, I know who I am. Whether I am despised by people who think that I am dark-skinned, so I don't value much, I am strengthened by Jesus Christ who lives within me, so that I can be able to pick my value from the Jesus who is in me. 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us in chapter 13 that, don't you know your own self, how that Jesus Christ dwells in you? When Jesus is in you, that is yourself. Don't you know yourself after the Jesus who is in you? Don't you pick your value from Jesus? Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to spend the rest of the time, very short message I have for you, but we're going to spend the rest of the time looking at what we should do when we are suffering some various things in life. For example, what do you do when you are tired? What do you do when you are tired? Somebody says, Pastor, you just have to rest. But God didn't rest because he was tired. Of course, God cannot be tired. He is not human. But he was setting us an example. God rested only when he had finished his work. It is when you finish that you must be minded that I am tired. When you have not finished, ladies and gentlemen, there is a way that God wants you to master tiredness, which is a practical reality of our everyday life. I am not here to tell you that when you are tired, don't rest. But I'm here to tell you that mentally, when you are tired, you don't cease from what you have to do.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. When you are tired, what you do is what matters most. It is what gives you the edge over other people, because everybody gets tired. Hallelujah. It is what you know, or what you acquire when you know everything in a subject, that matters most. When you think you are an expert at something, you are good at your job. I am a DJ, I am a pastor, I am a worship leader. When you think you are an expert in a particular trade, it is what you acquire afterwards that is going to give you the competitive edge. That is what is most important. I want to tell you that when you are tired, let the strength of God take over. Sometimes we are mentally tired, not physically, but mentally we are tired. You need to let the strength of God take over. Hallelujah. After you have racked your brains and you have exercised your mind in thinking through a decision, in thinking through a plan, in thinking through maybe life, and you are tired of it, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that you have to let God's strength kick in at that time. Paul says that when I am weak, then I am strong. He says that I like weakness. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and then verse 7 to 10. Very amazing, almost contradictory stuff over there. But it speaks to what I am trying to teach us, to master tiredness in this life. When you are mentally tired, tell the Lord that, Lord, I have thought through this. I have exercised my mind. I am tired. Where is the solution? Let him take over. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Let's go to verse number 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Can you see that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says that when I am weak, when I am tired, whether mentally or physically, my strength, God's strength, is made perfect when we are tired. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmity. In other words, I will work hard. I will work myself till I am tired. Because when I reach the stage of tiredness, then the supernatural can kick in. Hallelujah. Wonderful. When I have infirmities and I am human and I am tired of maybe counseling people, I am tired of doing this work as a pastor, I am tired of doing this work, maybe your secular work, of finding a solution to something, work yourself till you are tired. The Bible says that first the natural, then the supernatural. So the natural must be worked, hallelujah, to the point where you feel that I am a human being, I am tired. Now, Lord, because of my weakness, let your strength be made perfect in my weaknesses. There you will see that in the middle of your weaknesses, solutions are coming to you. In the middle of your preparations, when you do not know what to say, and you have worked yourself to a place of tiredness, then you see that God's inspiration and God's word comes to you in your weakness and tell you that change your message and preach this and preach that. Because you have worked yourself to a point until God's strength has to come in and to tell you that this is what I want you to preach. This is what I want you to do. This is what I've got for my people. I want you to know that God's strength comes to us in our weakness. When we have reached the end of ourselves and we feel like, what a day, I haven't achieved anything. As you lie on your back, ladies and gentlemen, tell the Lord, I have worked all the workings I have to do. Now it is for you to do the work. Hallelujah. What do you do also when there is a presence of evil? That is the second thing I want to talk to you about. And for that, go to the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 20 and 21. What do you do as a human being in your daily life? You want to master practical kingdom living in your daily life. What do you do when there is a presence of evil? Because in this world, there is a presence of evil. Whether you are schooling, you are working, everywhere that you go, there is a presence of evil. What do you do when you are being pushed by evil to follow suit and to do evil? What do you do when people are committing the wrong things all around you? What happens to you? Do you follow in the train? Do you just do what everybody is doing? What do you do in the presence of evil? 21 is where I want to zero in. It says that do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we must overcome evil with what? We must overcome evil with what? So when there is evil around you, how do you overcome evil? By doing good. Hallelujah. Some people overcome evil in different ways, or other than what has been prescribed by the Bible. But when there is evil all around you, when the people are corrupt all around you, when everybody is compromising as believers and doing the wrong thing and not setting the right example, what do you do in the presence of evil? The Bible says that be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. It means that good is stronger than evil. Light is stronger than darkness. Hallelujah. Don't say that it's me alone who is standing. You can make it. In the presence of evil, you can overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came to show us how to overcome evil with good. Good overcomes evil. Doing good to evil people overcomes the evil which is in them. Yes. You want to stop it in your workplace. Do the good. As you do the good, it will overcome the evil which is in them. The good will bind the evil. Some people choose to bind the devil. I'm not saying that don't bind the devil. But the Bible says that you overcome evil by doing good. Not necessarily by binding the devil. By doing the good thing, it binds the evil. It arrests the evil in people. At least it causes them to pause a little bit and to evaluate and to lose themselves from the grip of evil. That is how powerful we can live our daily lives. How do we overcome evil in this world as children of God in the midst of a crooked generation where the Bible says that unrighteousness is in the world? By doing good, by doing the right thing, we overcome the evil in people. When we do the wrong thing, we feed evil. We feed evil. We make evil stronger. We empower evil. But God wants us to overcome evil by doing the right thing. What do you do when you are frustrated and you are disappointed in this life? Because if you have never been frustrated and disappointed before, then you are too young. But in life, you'll be disappointed. Your expectation will be dashed. What you expect will not happen. What you don't expect, you see that they are happening. What happens to you when you are disappointed? Some people get angry. Some of them blow their top. Some worry. Some of them, they curse themselves inside. There are other people who wear it on their faces. Some people just eat. They are passive. They say, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. But I want to encourage you that when you are frustrated and you are disappointed in life, focus on the future. Hallelujah. Don't focus on what is happening. Focus on the future. Just turn your attention, turn your gaze, and understand that if you do not have that thing you are expecting today, you are one day closer to having it. Hallelujah. If you want to be married this year, and we are in a certain month, you are not married yet, nobody has proposed yet, I came to encourage you that don't look around you. Focus on the future and understand that you are 1 month ahead of the time that you are going to also be married. You are going to get closer and closer to having your car, to having your blessing, to getting married. What do you do in life when you make a mistake? Some people, when they make a mistake, they cannot forgive themselves. They think that they cannot do the right thing. Some of them even think that God has cursed them. Some people think that witches are against them. What do you do when you make a mistake? Ladies and gentlemen, forgive yourself and move on. Hallelujah. Forgive yourself and do what? Move on. Because mistakes are bound to come. Human as you are, even as a believer. But what do you do when you want to master practical daily living? Learn to forgive yourself quickly. Learn to put it behind you and forge on. Hallelujah. Forgive yourself, because if you do not forgive yourself, it is as tormenting as not forgiving other people. It is as impacting as not forgiving other people. What do you do when you are despised and rejected and you are not recognized for who you are? I want you to understand, not everybody will recognize you. Not everybody will respect you. Not everybody will like you. The Bible says that this is what you do. You have to pray for those who despise you. Because if you don't pray for them, God is going to be on their case. So have mercy on them. Be like Jesus, who said, Master, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. They are despising me. They are crucifying me. They are hurting me big time. They are doing something to me which is not good enough. Don't retaliate. Overcome evil with good. Focus on the people who bring you joy. Focus on what you do that brings you joy. Focus on the things that encourages you. Hallelujah. Don't feel rejected. Don't feel despised, because some other people approve of you. Some other people will hold your back for you. Some other people will not even want you to walk. Focus on those things and encourage yourself. What do you do when you are discouraged? Encourage yourself. Nobody can live your life for you. Everybody suffers discouragement. Don't wait for the pastor to come and encourage you. Encourage yourself in the Lord. What do you do when you are hurt? Please don't let the hurt lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let us all be masters of practical kingdom living, because the most important thing that you have in the sight of God is not where you live or your car or your job. The most important thing you have in the sight of God is your person on daily basis, not on occasional basis, but on daily basis. Focus on that and work on that, and you'll be a wonderful person.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, Amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.